They only listen to me half the time anyway, right?
You think it's that high? Wow, that's generous.
Yes! Go, Cammy!
This is an intervention.
Oh.
Not voting.
Oh, okay.
That is the coolest coffee trick I've ever seen.
I'm going to put a little bit more blackberry.
End of podcast because of that.
I owe you some audio equipment.
Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
Neurotherapeutic Pediatric Therapies, a highly respected nonprofit clinic offering occupational, physical, speech, and mental health therapy to children along with developmental services, is coming to Cambie this year. One of the largest private pediatric clinics in the area, the Oregon City-based nonprofit announced Friday that they will open their seventh clinic in Oregon at 113 North Elm Street, the location formerly known as Grand Central Station Restaurant, before that, Jarbo's Grill. The large property is considered the west side anchor of Cambie's downtown core, but it has been vacant since Grand Central closed 4 years ago. Executive Director Karen Braelke says that as a nonprofit, Neuro focuses on the most vulnerable kids in the communities, especially those who are uninsured or underinsured and whose parents cannot afford services. They hope to reduce barriers to healthcare by locating their clients in areas of unmet need. This is a big part of the reason that they're coming to Cambie. Braelke says that a recent OHSU report listed Cambie among the communities most lacking in mental health services.
So one of the reasons we did come to Cambie was because it is an underserved community.
Uh-huh.
So for mental health.
That's right.
Okay. There, the
for
state,
children in particular, or all?
All mental health.
Yeah.
So the state put out a, they put out a, this big list of places that are underserved in the state.
Yeah.
So Portland had a score of maybe 9.8 for how many mental health practitioners they have per 1,000 people.
Sure.
Cambie had a 0.25.
Oh my gosh.
So
yeah.
It was a definite area.
And where do we want it to be? Like where would we, what's a good score?
4 or 5.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're pretty low?
Yeah, very low.
Wow.
So, so we want to bring mental health to Cambie to help out with that.
Another big factor was the $247,000 grant Neuro recently received from the Oregon Health Authority to bring parent-child interaction therapy, PCIT, to 4 communities in Oregon, including Cambie. PCIT is an evidence-based treatment for young children with behavioral problems that Braelke says has proven to be remarkably effective. Realtor Adam Zagel with Better Homes and Garden Realty Partners said that they looked at several locations in Cambie, including the former Parsons Building downtown, but ultimately settled on Grand Central Station because it has more of a homey and inviting feel to the place. Braelke compared it favorably to Neuro's original location in Oregon City, which was built on a renovated 125-year-old carriage house. Zagel says the location was purchased by Neuro from the previous owners. They closed Friday, and it will undergo extensive renovations to better provide their services to the Cambie community. Here's Adam Zagel.
So this will get an exterior facade change. There'll be interior remodeling.
Mm-hmm.
The first and foremost was the coming soon sign.
Right.
And so really wanted to be able to say, hey, Cambie, we're here. We're coming soon.
Right.
And you'll see some changes.
Braelke hopes to open the new clinic in August of this year. For more information about Neuro and the services that they provide, please visit www.nt4kids, that's the number 4kids.org.
More than 111,000 people have walked through the doors of the Cambie Public Library in the past 10 months. That was just one of the figures highlighting the surprising success and enduring relevancy of the public library in our community, shared by Cambie Library Director Irene Green and Library Board Chair Kathleen Myron at last week's Cambie City Council meeting. They had come to present their annual report on the state of the library, and spoiler alert, it's pretty darn good. The library serves a population of almost 24,000, a sizable portion of whom live outside of city limits, Almost half, 45%, or close to 11,000 residents, borrowed materials from the Canby Public Library. More than 9,000 people participated in the 500-some programs the library has held since July 2018, and 831 local kids took part in last year's Summer Reading Initiative. One of the biggest achievements this year has been the success of the revamped teen program. With after-school youth programming being a desperate need in our community, the library and its affiliated nonprofits like Friends of the Canby Public Library and the Canby Public Library Foundation stepped up to bridge the gap. They unveiled a newly renovated and welcoming space with a laptop bar, new signage, games, and other teen-friendly accoutrements. Also added a dedicated part-time teen librarian. After a slower start, the program has exploded this year. Attendance at teen programs is up 187% from fewer than 500 in 2017-18 to almost 1,300 this year. City Councilor Greg Parker said the growth has been remarkable.
Congratulations on figuring out the key to Generation Z. I remember when we first opened up that teen room, it was vacant. So some clever work went into that. Thank you for doing that.
This year, the library has also added non-city residents and a Canby High School student liaison to their board, lowered the minimum age to get a library card to 14 without a parent's signature, unveiled the Cultural Pass Express, expanded outreach, and helped 32 Canby residents become U.S. citizens through a series of citizenship classes. There are also a few new things on the horizon. The Library of Things is coming to Canby this summer, where you will be able to check out a variety of items such as games, recreational equipment, tools, electronic devices, and more with your library card. It's part of a grant-funded collaboration with the County's Office of Sustainability and Solid Waste. And a line of 20 brand new Chromebooks will soon be available to patrons for use in the library for up to 3 hours at a time. The Chromebooks will give users more flexibility and privacy in their online activities, such as taking online courses or conducting business online, or, you know, checking Facebook. We know you're doing it. A Clackamas Community College student from Canby has been selected, along with another CCC co-ed, to be honored this Friday at the annual All-Oregon Academic Team Luncheon in Salem. The state's 17 community colleges participate in the annual event, each one nominating two outstanding students for their academic achievements and community involvement. Members of the team receive a scholarship to an Oregon four-year college or university to continue their educations. Natalia Rodriguez is a lifelong Oregon resident, having grown up in Canby in a bicultural home. Her mother is from the U.S. and her father is from Mexico. I am so grateful for two very different aspects of the world I got from each of my parents, she said. She is the vice president of the Clackamas Community College Associated Student Government and will be graduating from CCC with a transfer degree. She plans to attend Concordia University to earn a master's in elementary education and a master's in teaching. Her goal is to become an elementary school teacher. Also chosen was CCC geology student Liza Jane Gray of Estacada. All of the members of the 2019 All-Oregon Academic Team will start the day on April 26th at the Oregon State Capitol, where they will have the opportunity to meet Governor Kate Brown. The lunch event honoring them later will take place at the Salem Convention Center.
Hosted by the local Christian faith community, the 15th annual Canby Prayer Breakfast, formerly the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast, will be Thursday, May 2nd, coinciding with the National Day of Prayer. The event will be held at 6:30 a.m. at Cutsforth's Town Hall Meeting Space above Cutsforth's Market. Honorary guest speakers will be Canby Mayor Brian Hodson and State Representative Christine Drazen. Several Canby churches will be joining together to pray for the community and its leaders. Music will be led by Darlene Carnegie. Come join in praying for support of our civil servants and local leaders, as well as armed forces. This year's theme comes from John 13:34, love one another. There is no cost to attend, and all are welcome. Donations will be accepted to benefit the Canby Center. It is a truth universally acknowledged that a local individual in want of a good time must attend the second annual Jane Austen Tea and Fair. on tap this weekend in Aurora. Oh, okay, I see what Frankie did there. He took a Jane Austen thing and made me say it. Hosted by Windhorse Antiques, the event will immerse you in the Regency era world of Jane Austen and her witty observations of it. There will be 4 tea seatings, 20 plus fair vendors, demonstrations, displays, readings, and a period appropriate photo booth. The 2-day event will pinnacle with an elegant Regency ball in support of the Jane Austen Literacy Foundation. Come dressed in your best period costumes or simply admire the many others who will be promenading in the 2 fabulous indoor venues and throughout downtown Aurora. The fair will be held from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Admission is $3 with a portion supporting the American Legion Veterans Hall. Children 12 and younger are free. The Regency tea seatings will be held at 11 and 1 each day at the Legion Hall. Tickets are $28 each and must be purchased in advance online. You can find the link in our story on our website at canbenowpod.com. Finally, the Fabulous Ball will be at 5:30 on Saturday night in the newly renovated Grand Room of the historical Wilhelm Keil and Company building. The evening will include a Regency buffet, period card games, and other entertainment. Tickets for the ball are also available online, and they are $40. Historical or contemporary formal attire is mandatory, so I guess that kind of rules me out. Unless we can all agree that a sweatshirt with the Can Be Now podcast logo on it counts as formal attire.
So I'm here with Derek Hill, president of Advantage Mortgage in Canby. I was wondering what's going on in the mortgage industry right now.
The mortgage industry is on fire right now. The big thing that's really exciting for us is that we are now an independent mortgage broker, which means that we can offer substantially lower rates and lower fees for our customers. For example, we just got a loan last week and the realtor said, hey, I think you should go talk to Derek at Advantage Mortgage. And sure enough, we got the borrower 3/4 better rate, and we saved them $14,000 in fees.
Cool. So where can people find you?
So office number is 503-266-5800, or they can find us on the web at findtheadvantage.com. But most people just give us a holler or they stop in.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Derek.
Yeah, bet. Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 1770599. Derek Hills, NMLS number 50183. Equal housing opportunity.
Death Be Not Proud by John Donne. Death, be not proud, though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. For those whom thou thinkest thou dost overthrow, die not, poor death, nor yet canst thou kill me. From rest and sleep, which but thy pictures be, much pleasure, then from thee much more must flow. And soonest our best men with thee do go, rest of their bones and soul's delivery. Thou art slave to fate, chance, kings, and desperate men, and dost with poison, war, and sickness dwell. And poppy or charms can make us sleep as well and better than thy stroke. Why swellest thou then? One short sleep past, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die.
So basically it starts here with the Lewis and Clark Expedition.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, those guys. They were some of the first people to, the first documented beer was brewed by the Lewis and Clark Expedition.
Really?
Yes.
Cool.
So first documented beer in
was
Oregon
it brewed
country,
by them?
And it was brewed by a member of their party named John Collins. He brewed it for them. And there's a quote up there from William Clark saying that it was very good. They made it out of camas root, which is a local indigenous root, and then they had made some bread out of the camas root, and then they made the beer out of the fermented bread.
So, cool.
So it was really the first local brew.
Yeah. And what was the purpose of beer, like, in that time? Like, was it more like a part of a meal or like more like a nutrition thing, or was it to enjoy, you know, back then as well?
Yeah, I think it was probably about the same. I think people tended to drink it more with meals because there weren't as many good water sources back then,
safe
safe water sources. Yeah. So people were more likely to drink alcohol mm-hmm. with their meals.
Yeah.
But, you know, people definitely would relax with beers just like we do now.
Yeah.
So
cool. Yeah. Well, after a hard day of exploring
and
trailblazing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. encountering Native groups?
Yeah, so then basically, you know, people were coming over the Oregon Trail and bringing a lot of those beer brewing traditions with them. This is an account book from Jacksonville. And basically it's the record, one of the first records in Oregon of like beer being sold.
Okay.
From the 1850s. So yeah.
Yeah. They take debit card back then? Probably not.
They actually took gold dust.
Oh, so wow. There's some, that is interesting.
Yeah, there's some records of people buying liquor with gold dust.
A little
there,
sprinkle so, of dust. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is great.
That's so cool.
So then we have some objects that came across the Oregon Trail. This is a carboy, which would have been used to ferment beer or some other type of alcohol. And it's pretty large.
It's huge.
So that had to have taken up a good amount of space in the wagon. There wasn't a lot of space. So, you know, clearly whoever brought it over, it was very important to them for some reason.
Yeah.
There's also a jug over there that was also brought over on the trail, and that would have been used to store beer or whiskey.
When I used to play the Oregon Trail game, they never gave me that as an option.
As an option, I would have
done that.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I would have protected that over the other people in my party.
Too bad, exactly.
So my guest today is Lori Erickson. She's a curator of exhibits for the Oregon Historical Society. Lori, how are you?
Good.
Thanks so much for coming on the program.
Yeah, thank you.
So we just went through your new exhibit. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So it's called Barley, Barrels, Bottles, and Brews.
Lots of bees in there.
Exactly. It's all about the history of beer and brewing and hops in Oregon.
Yeah. It's super fascinating. Like I said, we just went through it. I'd love to know kind of what the idea was behind having this exhibit. Like, what was the thinking behind let's do beer?
So we had done, actually, a few years ago, I worked on an Oregon wine history exhibit. And so this kind of seemed like the next logical step because both of those industries are very important to Oregon.
Yeah, and all the beer people were feeling left out. They're like,
exactly.
You know, and you get the snooty wine people.
And there's a really long history of beer and brewing in Oregon and hops growing. So that started even before pioneers came here.
Right,
so.
Right. Beer, wine, you know, anything alcohol sort of has that element of, like, it can be a little polarizing. Like, people that don't drink or, like, you figure that that wouldn't be something they're interested in or whatever. But there's so much, like you sort of mentioned, that beer and wine, but beer is what we're talking about, is intertwined with our history.
It is.
You know, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So basically, over our beer history here goes back over 200 years
to Lewis and Clark.
Lewis and Clark expedition.
Yeah. So cool.
Yeah, they are the first people that brewed beer, that at least that it was documented.
Mm-hmm.
And that was over 200 years ago when they first arrived near the John Day River.
Yeah.
And they made it out of the local camas root. So it goes all the way back to that time. And then, you know, Oregon has had a very significant hops growing agriculture, and that goes back to the mid 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
And up until World War II, we were the number one hop producing state in the country.
Mm.
So there are all kinds of connections. A lot of really important hops research has gone on in Oregon.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the very earliest breweries west of the Mississippi opened here.
So let's talk a little bit about hops. Hops is something that actually ties into, Canby's history as well. There were a lot of hops farms when Canby was founded and even before. There's old pictures at, like, the Canby Historical Society of, you know, people climbing, standing on the big poles that they would use.
That
almost look like stilts to get the high hops. So what are hops for people that maybe aren't in the craft brew scene, and what is kind of their purpose as far as use in beer?
Right. So hops are a plant that they produce these cones, these flowers that then are used. They can be used for a variety of purposes, but they're used in beer for as a bittering agent. They're used as a preservative. That was one of their first really important uses because there weren't a lot of good ways to preserve beer originally, and so
before refrigerators.
Like the India Pale Ales, those were made with a lot of hops because it would preserve the beer, and they could ship them across the ocean.
I don't think anybody in Portland really knows about IPAs, so that's
not
a big thing around here. But you guys should try them; they're pretty good. Cool. Also with the hops, we saw going, going through the exhibit, it was an industry that survived Prohibition because of, well, tell us about it.
Yeah, so there were some shortages of hops in Europe after World War I because of the war, and also because there were some diseases that were kind of ravaging some of the European hops, and so because of that, there was a really important export business from Oregon of the hops to Europe.
Yeah. And then you mentioned it kind of up until World War II, and that was because there was obviously a labor shortage that happened from the war effort.
Right, exactly. So basically a lot of people went off to war, and at the time the hops required a really large labor force to harvest the hops, and so they actually started mechanizing things more at that point. Mm-hmm.
So through a lot of Oregon's early history, like you mentioned, even going back to Lewis and Clark, beer was a thing, often sort of a safer alternative to water and not as strong a drink as like liquor or something.
Right.
So it's sort of that safer kind of middle ground. Obviously, much more recently, it's become something, you know, the craft brew scene has exploded. It's become such an interesting part of culture that's obviously become much more than just, well, I'm going to drink beer because I don't want to, you know, get diphtheria or something, you know.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about that aspect and how that played into the exhibit as far as wanting to highlight kind of this cultural icon that it's become for Oregonians?
Yeah, so I think even going back to those early days, people did tend to drink beer more during the day and with meals and that kind of thing, but it's always been kind of a social activity.
Okay.
And I think, you know, it's become definitely even more so over time. But a lot of the craft brewing revolution that's happening now, that came out of people that were home brewing. And they started there and doing that, and realized that they could make these sort of different and interesting beers, like European-style beers. We almost went back to the 19th century because there were more European-style beers being brewed in Oregon at that time. Mm-hmm. So kind of going back to that original idea.
Do you think it was really market-driven, that people were interested in trying new things, trying new tastes, or just the brewer's own creativity they wanted to express?
I think it was probably both.
Yeah.
But I think people were maybe getting sick of some of the bland kind of corporate beers, you know?
Right, we won't name names, but
yeah,
I think everyone knows.
But yeah, I think, you know, a lot of those
around.
Beers during the mid-20th century were all very similar, and, you know, people were just kind of thinking, oh, I'd like to try something else. A lot of people had gone, you know, maybe fought in World War II and had been in Europe, and, you know, were exposed to those different kinds of beers. Mm. And so, yeah, people came back and were like, oh, I wish I could have that one again, you know?
Yeah, for sure. What kind of responses have you gotten to the exhibit? It's been open for a few months now.
Yeah, I think it's been really great. We've gotten some people that haven't necessarily been into the Oregon Historical Society before that are coming to see that exhibit, and that's always great if we can get some new audiences.
I wondered if that was part of it, like, you know, like there's this bar in Oregon City that says, and really, it's a brew pub, it says, you know, in really big letters on their sign, like, free beer, but, like, in small, it's, like, free Wi-Fi, like, cold beer, you know, so it's just sort of, like, beer is something that draws people in. I wondered if that was kind of the idea.
Yeah,
so it's cool to see that that's happening.
Right, we know that Oregonians really love their beer, and so I think, and it is such an important part of our history here, going back so far.
Do you find that people are surprised by that?
They definitely are, especially realizing it went all the way back to Lewis and Clark.
Yeah, I was surprised. So,
yeah, and you know that we had the second second brewery west of the Mississippi. You know, I think people are really surprised by that.
That's really cool. I was gonna ask you something else. So, how long does it go?
So it goes through June 9th. It's here for several months.
And do you know what's going to be happening next? Or are you guys going to do marijuana? I'm just kidding.
I don't think we have any plans for that.
Yeah,
but
not yet.
I'm working on an exhibit about the 19th Amendment, about women's suffrage.
Oh, cool.
So
cool.
It'll be in 2020, it'll be the 100-year anniversary of the 19th Amendment.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Women in brewing goes back a lot farther than people probably realize, too.
Yeah, it does. Some of the first
in Oregon.
Women in brewing in Oregon were all the way back to the 1860s in Jacksonville. And then throughout the 19th century, there were several women that worked in, that were owners of breweries and, you know, oversaw the breweries during
and
that
at that time was a lot of the German immigrants that influenced.
Right, and most of the people that were opening breweries at that time in the 19th century were German immigrants.
Yeah.
There were some British immigrants as well, but mostly German.
Well, I was really disappointed that you didn't have any samples, but
other than that, no tabs.
In there. Well, there were tabs, but they just weren't attached to anything. They were just on display. but it was really interesting. Thanks so much for putting the exhibit on and giving us a chance to talk about it and see it. So really appreciate you coming on. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk again sometime, maybe on your next exhibit. So
That would be great. Thank you.
Thanks, Lori. A lot of men. The early brewer, there was a picture of a woman.
Yeah, so there were some early women. There weren't a lot of women brewers, brewmasters per se, but there were some women that owned some breweries early on.
Yeah, cool.
So starting
interesting. You would think they'd be more into the production maybe, you know.
Yeah. And with some of them, it was because they took over, like their husbands may have owned the brewery, because they passed away or something, then they took control. So in a lot of cases, it was that. But there were several women that ran breweries in the 19th century in Oregon.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting to.
That
isn't why I said that, but yeah, here we go. Women in brewing.
Terry Fahrendorf, who is from Oregon, had opened started the Pink Boot Society. She had taken a trip across the country in 2007 and realized there weren't a lot of women in brewing, and the ones that were there didn't really know about other women, you know. So basically she created this organization to connect women in brewing and to help with education and that sort of thing. And now it has over 2,000 members nationally.
That's really cool. So.
Got a couple interactives here.
I love it.
Yeah. A station where you can smell the different aromas and different varieties of hops, and all of these hop varieties were researched and produced in Oregon. Mm-hmm. So these are all
very strong smells.
Yeah, definitely.
Love it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Are you a small business owner or maybe thinking of investing in yourself with your very own startup? Awesome. Now all you have to do is reach potential customers at a time when consumers have never been more fragmented, more distracted, or more difficult to reach. If that sounds hard, believe me, it is. That's why I make Frankie do it.
Carrie and her team at Promotional Strategies offer strategic, purposeful solutions to build your brand with lasting promotional items that make sense for you and your company. They are creative geniuses who will deliver advertisements that people actually thank you for and will use every day. We've tried other sellers, and we trust Carrie to provide high-quality branded items that we can be proud of. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby or online at ps266swag.com.
More than 1.2 million Americans receive internet, TV, and telephone services from community cooperatives like Direct Link. They believe that their role revolves around partnerships. Whether sponsoring a local event, hosting educational classes, or investing in fiber internet technology, Direct Link is here for our community because they are a part of our community.
Beyond just working in Canby, most of DirectLink's employees live here as well. DirectLink's investment in the local area reaches past business interests and extends into the everyday lives of neighbors, friends, and families. Visit them online at directlink.coop to learn more about their communication services and community activities.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Canby Now podcast Soapbox. I'm Tyler Frankie, your co-host.
Why are you talking to them?
You didn't let me finish. Unfortunately, this is my co-host, Tyler Clausen.
I see what you were doing there. Because you normally say hi to me first.
Right.
And then you say hi to them.
I had a thing.
So I was confused.
Yeah. And then you
now
it.
I get it.
Yeah.
That I'm unfortunately your co-host.
Yeah.
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 Because of what my dad said.
Yeah, you had a really funny story that you told
at
the end.
Was it a good, funny story?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I knew the story, and I was hoping you'd tell it on the show sometime.
Right.
But I love how you told it and what you did with it, because really, it's like a, 5-second story.
It doesn't have to be as, yeah.
Like,
as
when you told it to me, like, originally, years ago.
Like my dad said, unfortunately.
I think you were wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah, I gave, I gave my dad a t-shirt that says that. Yeah, I've really taken that and run with it. It was a definitive moment in my life. So
yeah,
if you guys haven't listened to that, I would suggest
last episode. Yeah,
episode 59. It was a lot of fun to write. When I told my dad that I had told that story to all of Camby,
yeah,
there was definitely a look of shame.
Yeah, he should be shamed. Tony Clausen.
Oh, yeah, you're really calling him out. Just kidding. I mean, he embarrassed the crap out of me in the episode beforehand.
He's been on the show multiple times at this point, so I think everyone knows his name.
I mean, they're going to replace me with him real fast.
Well, hi, Tyler.
Hi, Frankie. Sorry, I was looking away just to make sure my job.
Yeah, yeah. Make sure it's recording. Yeah. Is it recording? Oh, I see the little waves.
I feel like I feel like my voice is way louder than yours, though. Yeah. So I'm just gonna bring me down just a little bit. All right, there we go.
You don't have to talk like that.
It's fun.
Happy 60th episode.
I know, we've made it so far, dude.
It's insane. Yeah, I cannot believe it. And that doesn't even include like some bonus episodes and stuff. I think we're really like closer to 70, but. That's
but
crazy.
For like legit episodes, we're at 60, and that's super cool.
Yeah, and I think the 60th is the diamond anniversary.
I thought that was like 90.
I don't know. I don't know anniversary. We're still both like at the age where all of them are like wood, lame things like paper.
I'm still giving paper to my wife.
It's like here's a box of Kleenex.
Anniversary
that's the two year. Yeah. So I saw something on social media that was really upsetting to me.
Oh, yeah?
This was especially upsetting and infuriating, and it made me feel like I wanted to go on attack, and it made me angry. And it was a picture of somebody eating Peeps with ketchup.
What?
Yeah.
This is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I know. You're angry too now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Nothing
apparently.
Worse has ever happened.
The worst part where there were people that were like, "Oh, you know the secret." Like it's some like club. Yeah. So it's there are other people that do it too. It wasn't just like if it was just one weird guy, like that would be okay.
Yeah.
But it's a thing.
But it's a society.
That makes me even angrier.
I guess. I mean, I'm one of the people that defends pineapple on pizza.
Oh.
And so I know there are people out there that are like, you are what's wrong with
I think
with
you know
world.
That I'm one of those people.
I do know that.
Okay.
Pineapple on pizza is great.
Oh, it's not.
This is going to be the whole soapbox now.
Here we go. It wasn't what we were planning on
you
talking
about.
You know
what? Please comment on our stuff. Let us know. Does pineapple belong on a pizza?
So here's
I want to know.
Here's my thing. I feel like the debate's already been settled because I am part of a family through marriage that is totally on the Hawaiian pizza train.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so every single family event that is catered by Papa Murphy's involves Hawaiian pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And I always insist, like, can you just get just one normal pizza for me? And, you know, and when they're, like, doing the order, it's like, hey, who wants Hawaiian? And, like, everyone's hands go up.
Yep.
Who wants normal pizza? Just me, you know. And so they'll get, like, four Hawaiian pizzas and, like, one pepperoni, okay?
Yeah.
And which is fine, because I'm the only one. Always, there's like 3.5 pizzas worth of Hawaiian that's left over.
Right.
And all of the pepperoni is gone.
Pepperoni. Yeah.
Right? Well, so I feel like whatever they say, they know that Hawaiian pizza is terrible.
Here's my thing.
And they prove it with their votes by the pizza that they eat.
I love pineapple on my pizza, and I like Hawaiian pizzas, but that's not what I like. I like getting like Hawaiian with sausage. And like that to me is the way to do it.
Yeah.
Because you get spice with the sweet. So I'm even more like I'm more deep into the pineapple pizza. I don't even like Hawaiian pizza. That's how much I don't like pineapple. Or I do like pineapple.
Well, I mean, that's
Hawaiian's
more okay
too
with
mainstream
me.
For me.
Too mainstream. I'm like so over it.
It's like whatever. I liked Hawaiian before. It was cool.
Before it was a thing. But, I mean, that's more okay. I also don't like ham, really, on pizza. Because, like, pepperoni is way better. So
why pepperoni's
would you,
way better.
Well, like, why
pepperoni
would you do
pineapple is one of the greatest. It's an American staple, I think.
I mean, it's like
Thanksgiving, football.
If nobody had ever heard of pepperoni, it's like, sure, throw some ham on there. Sure. But it's like when you know that this way thousand times
we're talking
better.
About Camby, right? What has this show become?
I don't know. You started this.
I did. I was actually working on a t-shirt design that just has a list of all the Camby places that have been in Camby. Or pizza places that have been in Camby.
Oh, yeah, and just have, like, some crossed off.
Some I do, actually. I can show you. I have some crossed out. Godfather's, Cascade Pizza. It's unfortunate. R.I.P. I was sad. Yeah.
Now I want to play Taps or something.
Yeah.
Well, we've got new pizza places coming in.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Mo's eventually. Maybe others. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, we do have something coming to Canby that is not pizza.
Right.
Coming into the Grand Central Station. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can do it. Neurotherapeutic Pediatric Therapies Incorporated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that wasn't even the hard part for me to read.
You had
in
a lot
story.
Of trouble with.
Developmental.
That's not a hard word.
It took me so many tries to get the word developmental when I was
You're
reading
doing great
story.
Now.
I know, because I practiced it.
Nailing it.
Developmental.
Yeah, so I think that there are a lot of people that are maybe disappointed or were a little disappointed because they want a restaurant or a store.
Yeah,
you
how
know?
Dare they bring in something that's going to help people's mental and physical ailments.
Well, let's not like put people on blast. I don't think people are like, oh, there shouldn't be mental health services. Sure. But there was just a little like, oh, you know, they were excited. When everyone in Canby's favorite game, like what's going in, sure. You know, blank, you know, a vacant building XYZ, it's always like some kind of restaurant or some kind of retail thing, which is true that kind of stuff does activate, you know, downtown. And that's ultimately what most people want to see, more activation, more people filtering through downtown. But this is like, it was sort of a curveball in that way, Neuro coming in. But so needed. And, you know, I got the opportunity to speak with Karen Brailchi for a few minutes on Friday. Mm-hmm. There at the Grand Central Station, we kind of walked around a bit. Hadn't been in there in like four years or so since it closed.
Yeah.
Looks pretty much the same.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of tables and chairs and booths and stuff in there. You know, just in those few minutes of interaction, seems like such a wonderful person and like really like the story we did and the quotes that you guys heard from her, the things that you'll see in press releases and I'm sure stories and stuff to come, like it all felt very real. Like she really truly does have a heart for this kind of stuff and the kind of services that they provide through this nonprofit. They actually bought the company, the pediatric clinic, when it was a for-profit. And they basically donated the company that they had bought to turn it into a nonprofit. So it was really,
really cool.
Cool sacrifice on their part, Karen and Brent Brailchi. So anyway, I you know, was totally won over by that. Like, you know, it might have been cool to see a restaurant as well. But when I saw what they were and when they showed me and pointed out the need that's here in Canby, I think it's going to be awesome. And it's going to bring a lot of people too, you know? Like I said, it's sort of a curveball, but it will activate that corner and bring people here who might ultimately, you know, walk a couple blocks over and, you know, go to Gwen's or whatever anyway. Yeah. So,
I mean, I was sad because I saw going in there our studio space.
Yeah, we're not there yet, buddy.
I mean, a guy can dream.
Yeah.
A guy can dream outside of his basement and hope to be in an independent large house size building.
Yeah, maybe they'll put a little shed outside for us. It's still possible, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm waiting for the post office to leave and we'll take the space.
Yeah, you're way too ambitious, man. I'm thinking like one of those little storage sheds outside the Home Depot.
Yeah, you know, every time I go past the place across the street from Fred Meyer, the furniture outlet, they've got all those sheds out there now. And I'm like, those would be a pretty good studio space. We could just buy one of those, set it up.
Plop it wherever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every single time it goes through my head.
Yeah. But yeah.
I'm excited. I think it's really cool. I mean, I know that there's a huge need for that and a huge need to reach people who don't have the ability to get to that sort of service. And I mean, it's kind of aligned and I, just on my own personal life, like I broke my elbow twice.
Yeah.
And I've had to have surgery on it three times. I've gone through physical therapy like four or five times because of it.
Yeah.
And even now as an adult, I've been noticing my elbow hurts again. I need to probably go get some physical therapy again. And so I know like there's...
You're probably a little older than their clientele.
I'm not saying I'm going there. I'm just saying like I know the struggle of what it's like to have to go through the process of healing and finding mobility in things that should just work naturally. I know how that feels. And if you can find someone who's caring and willing to come alongside you, then... I mean, that's super cool. It's really interesting.
In your own community.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm really excited. It was cool to see so many people again, like, you know, with it was even just like a couple weeks ago, somebody had pointed out that the building was pending, this Grand Central Station. And, you know, so the question came up, like, what should go there? And it's like 98% restaurants, you know. But
a pizza place.
Yeah. There's always that one that's like facetious. But when we posted the story about what's actually going there, Neuro, there was so much excitement about it. You know, a lot of people saying that, oh, they've gone there, you know, or taking their kids there, that they're just wonderful people and a wonderful organization. So that was cool to see. And I'm just excited, again, with the quality of the people and, you know, having this new addition to our community, but also just from a slightly selfish perspective, but there's going to be a lot of cool stories, you know, for us out of this. I feel we're definitely going to sit down with Karen for a much longer interview, you know, once they're closer to opening. They're going to have like a gym and a ball pit in there, you know, so we're going to probably have a chance to
shoot. Are you sure I can't go there for physical therapy?
I'll ask when I talk to
thank you.
But I'm sure we'll have a chance to get some cool photos and some cool video in there. So I think that'll be really fun. And again, something really different and a great addition to our community. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of big announcements.
Oh.
Cambi Now Podcast has a really big announcement coming up.
Coming up or right now?
Not right now. It's coming up. It's going to be next week.
We're announcing that there's going to be an announcement.
Right. I feel like you should know.
I mean, I know what it is. I just didn't know we were talking about it yet.
I wasn't expecting you to be confused.
Wait, what? The company that I own is doing something?
Yeah, co-own.
Okay.
So we are really excited. And not exaggerating, this is the biggest thing.
It's definitely huge.
Ever since we started the podcast. So get excited. We're going to be teasing a few things here and there throughout this week.
Yeah, cool.
But the big, big announcement will be next Wednesday, May 1st.
Oh, yeah.
So that's coming. And then...
Speculate what you think it is.
So recording this on Sunday. It was Easter today.
Yeah.
So that was fun. I've been covered in glitter most of the day. Because,
that sounds fun.
Yeah. That was actually because of my wife. We were cleaning out this like storage area, and she found an industrial sized container of glitter.
What?
That she thought would be hilarious to come up behind me and pretend to sneeze and just basically dump it down my shirt.
The entire thing?
Yeah. It's all blue glitter, and I don't know if this is a big news story that I'm breaking, but glitter never ever goes away ever.
No, it doesn't.
I like showered like twice since then, and I still have glitter all over me. So
yeah. Oh my goodness.
But Easter was fun. We did the egg hunt thing. All of the kids in our family are still like 3 and under, so it's like a very like slow paced, very relaxed. We recruited like a bunch of adults to do the egg hunt, but it was like a lot of like my, you know, our uncles,
right?
So like their great uncles, so like a little bit more detached from the kids. So I guess they like forget, or they they're like way too hard. They're like putting eggs like 10 feet up in a tree. They're like hiding them under things. They're like, this 2-year-old is not gonna lift up the pot to like look, you know. So we were like, every child had like a adult escort, and it was like a more laid back egg hunt. But we were talking, and it's like, so everyone, you know, like the Christmas thing, the Easter thing, like everyone, you know, it's a big thing to like talk about the reason, you know, it's about Jesus and he's risen and, you know, I believe that and I think that's great. But then we all get together and we do like this egg thing, and we do like we do like bunny. There's like bunnies all around and stuff, and none of us, like none of us parents, even know anymore like what the reason for the egg, what like how the egg and the bunny come into it. Like we can tell the story about of Jesus to the kids and explain that that's the real reason Easter is.
Right.
Like we're all on the same page with that.
But nobody knows the bunny.
We don't remember. Like, is do the bunnies like weirdly lay the eggs, or do they like do we put the eggs out to attract bunnies? I don't even know. Do you know?
I'm pretty sure it just has to do with rabbits are a symbol of fertility.
Spring?
Fertility.
Oh, okay.
And spring. Yeah. And so you. I mean, in spring.
I don't want to talk to my kids about fertility yet.
You see a lot of bunny rabbits running around because you know they got it on a few months ago.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that with my.
And so I really do think it has to do with that. The egg thing, I think I'm not exactly sure where that comes from. I think it's just like people are like, let's hide some eggs or something. Let's decorate eggs and hide them. I don't know.
Okay.
So that I don't know. I think the rabbit thing is like a different type of celebration that we've just incorporated.
Oh, merge into.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to tell my kids next year is that the bunnies are excited about Jesus and they love candy and they're
they
just
poop
giving
out eggs.
Yes.
That's not going to mess them up at all.
Oh, well, I mean, there's a chance they're going to get messed up anyway, yeah. So might as well lean into it. Any funny stories from you?
Because
that was such a hilarious
story.
That was
so funny. Your stories are always...
If you guys need to pull over, go ahead and do that.
You and your stories about your kids are always like, you think they're hilarious, and they're like, my kids couldn't find eggs.
Yeah.
Not really funny. I got to hang out with my family and
You mean the entire community of Canby?
My family?
Yeah.
I mean... I wish.
Oh, it's only like half the people that you're related to. Anyway.
My aunt and uncle, I got to see them today. And they were telling me that they went to the backstop and somebody recognized them by their last name, Clausen.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person who was working there was like, is your son Tyler Clausen? They're like, no, it's our nephew. And she started telling them how much she liked our show.
Oh, she recognized your name.
Yeah, she
Didn't know you. She recognized you from the podcast?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's cool.
She knows Tyler Clausen from the Came Out podcast, saw that their last name is Clausen, and so she made the connection, and she just started telling them how much she enjoyed our show, and she wanted them to tell me how much she enjoyed it, and that they were doing a good job, and that was super cool.
Yeah, like, that's really cool.
That kind of, I mean, it's cool whenever you give me feedback from the internet where people can write something.
Right.
But for someone
which we need
recognize,
some more of, by the way, guys. Like, if you're listening to this and you haven't given us a review yet, go do it right now.
It still helps in so many ways to get out there. So,
and also, we need attention and validation because we're young, sensitive millennials.
And there was someone at the Book Nook, too. Every time I go in, Megan introduces me to someone new. Every single time. And it was cool. This last time I went in, she introduced me to someone. I had been talking to Megan for a few minutes, and then someone came up, and she's like, I recognize your voice.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's so weird
that
people in Canby recognize my voice.
I've heard the term Canby famous several times in relation to us, and it's happened enough times now that I'm starting to suspect that it's not a joke.
Right.
People do think that that's an actual thing to be Canby famous. So
I mean, I'll consider us famous when we're able to cut a paycheck from the podcast.
Well, that might happen
someday.
Okay, so we've got a segment coming up that's really cool, Kindness Week happening in Canby School District.
Mm-hmm.
If you know more than us about the bunny and weird egg thing, please let us know at info@canbynowpod.com or connect with us on social media, and stay tuned for big announcements. Thanks for listening. Hey, so I'm here with Ray Keene. He's a member of the steering committee for the Canby Suicide Prevention Task Force, and you guys got kind of a lot going on this week. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, super excited. Around town, you're going to see signs change. The reader boards are going to say, can be dedicated to kindness. And that's really to support our youth this week as they focus on some great curriculum coming in to the high school and the middle school. On Monday, we've got Esteban Gast, who will be a special speaker. And on Thursday night this week is a concert that's open to the community.
Yeah.
Love to have everybody come out. That's a fundraiser for Lines for Life, which is suicide prevention oriented.
It's like a phone line. And
Yeah.
What time is the concert and who's playing?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that. So 7 p.m. Thursday, the 25th of April. We've got a wonderful concert, Isabel Walker, and another artist will be joining her for a great concert. And the theme is Other Shoes. So walking a mile, you know, in somebody else's shoes. It's good for us to remember that not everybody is like me, but we can figure out how to live together, how to serve, support, and love each other.
And you were telling me a little bit about the speaker, Esteban Gast.
Yeah.
Tell me a little more about his work and his message.
Oh, man. So I just watched some of the clips from him and what he's going to share.
Kind of blowing up online and stuff.
Yeah. Really amazing. So he's coming on Monday morning to share with both the high school and then I think later in the day with the middle school here in Canby. And really just focusing around strong character traits, the kinds of things that we all want to, you know, convey to one another, kindness, love, you know, care, compassion, watching out for each other, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. How does this kind of tie into the suicide prevention piece? Just sort of a positive, you know, community, strong type message?
Sometimes when we talk about suicide prevention, we get focused on all the negatives, you know, because it's kind of a downer. But when you think about it, the truth is we need to remember the strengths and the positives that are out there. And that's what this does.
All right. Just to clarify everything here, this week is Kindness Week at the Canby School District. Teachers and student leaders are encouraging students to spend the week walking in others' shoes as they model kindness, friendship, trust, gratitude, and empathy. Esteban Gast, an inspirational speaker and all-around funny guy, will be sharing with students on the subject of kindness at Baker Prairie Middle School and Canby High today, Monday. The benefit concert will be from 7 to 9 Thursday at the Canby Fine Arts Center, and it will be open to the public. A suggested donation of $5 or more will benefit the nonprofit Lines for Life, which is dedicated to preventing substance abuse and suicide and promoting mental wellness. Canby High School and the entire Canby community continue to heal and process from the suicide deaths of two high school students that happened last year.
For someone who enjoys a well-brewed craft beverage at the end of a day, living in the Willamette Valley is like living in paradise. There are literally hundreds of craft breweries, wineries, and cider presses producing amazing stuff right here in our region, and it can be a little overwhelming, but it's also exciting, if you have the right guide.
That's why we love visiting the FOB Taproom in Canby Place on Southwest Berg Parkway. They have over 36 taps of the absolute best craft beer, ciders, and wines, which are constantly rotating in a wide variety of styles. And their friendly staff has the expertise to recommend something you're guaranteed to love. They've got an awesome trivia night every Wednesday and other events happening all the time, so be sure to connect with them on Facebook so you don't miss out. See you at the FOB.
And that's our show. Special thanks to our guests today, Lori Erickson and Ray Keane, and to all of our sponsors who really make it possible to do what we do. We encourage you to check them out and help support the local small businesses who support us. Hey, if you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episodes.
On our next episode, we sit down for an interview with the entire graduating class of one of our local schools. No, not Canby High School. That would be insane. It's Canby Bible College, so there's only four of them. But still, we had a fun time learning about what it's like at CBC and how these students feel it has prepared them for the next step in their lives' journey. They'll tell you all about it next time on the Canby Now
podcast. If you have
a
news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or suggestions of how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Canby Now, or on our website, CanbyNowPod.com.